This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Ik and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier this hour, we talked about a graphic novel that's kind of trying to put out the word, create awareness about COVID-19. It's called One World, One Fight. So you can check that out. It's from Gen Z Group, or you can download it at genzgroup.org. And now we're moving on to our second story. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so in our second story, we're going to be looking at sexual harassment. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent strict enforcement of social distancing rules and lockdowns, many have actually assumed, you know, that women are finally safe. I mean, if everybody is told to stay at home or at least, you know, 1 to 2 meters apart from one another, women should be safe from harassment, right? But not
in theory.
In theory, but not quite. The reality all over the world is that, including here in Malaysia, is that even during a global pandemic, women are still facing all sorts of sexual harassment.
So sexual harassment refers to unwanted or unwelcome conduct that is sexual in nature and may be committed physically, verbally, non-verbally, psychologically and or visually, which can or may cause the person being harassed to feel humiliated, offended or threatened. This means that even being catcalled down the street is a form of sexual harassment.
And recently, the former national rhythmic gymnast Sarina Sundra Raja, she talked about how she was harassed by a delivery driver at the lobby of her condo when she went to collect a package sent by a friend via a delivery service. So after handing her the package, the driver started asking her somewhat inappropriate personal questions. As reported by The Star, Sarina said, and I quote, "He asked me if I was Sarina, the gymnast. That took me by surprise. And so I asked him how he knew. He said that it was on the order, which I thought was strange because I didn't book the service. Then instead of stopping at that, he continued to engage in conversation. He asked me if I was a Wakil Rakyat, if I lived alone and whether I was married. I didn't engage with him and left the lobby. And about 15 minutes later, when I was back in my unit, he called me on my mobile phone. I didn't answer, but I took a screenshot of the missed call."
And incidences such as these are happening overseas as well. So British writer Laura Bates, who's the founder of the Everyday Sexism Project, recently wrote on The Telegraph that she's been getting so many messages from women sharing stories of how they've been sexually harassed during these particularly trying times. According to Bates, and this would be related to what's happening in the UK, women are getting catcalled when walking down the street with their young child or even when they take their dog out for a walk.
Yeah, in fact, many women have started to wonder if they're experiencing more sexual harassment now than ever before. I'm going to quote a few messages by women that were apparently sent to Bates herself. Mm-hmm. One woman asked, quote unquote, "Is anyone else experiencing more street harassment than usual at this time?" Mm. Another said, quote, "Leering and sexual harassment seems to be rife. I have never been ogled, stared at or catcalled so frequently." Mm. So it does seem to appear that because of the lockdowns that, you know, that naturally means less people hanging out in public spaces, perhaps, you know, these predators are starting to become braver.
So it's one thing to be sexually harassed by random people you don't know. It's another when it's allegedly being done by those in uniform who are supposed to protect and serve the community. So a couple of weeks ago, the All Women's Action Society of Malaysia, or AWAM, highlighted a sexual harassment case reported against a police officer. So this police officer had allegedly used vulgar slang at an MCO checkpoint.
So in a statement, AWAM said, "Authority tips the scales in favour of the police and the army, and thus they have the responsibility to ensure that the power is not abused. The abuse of power in the alleged sexual harassment case above has left the survivor extremely traumatized. Worse, the survivor is also afraid and unsure of how to make a report under the unusual circumstances of the MCO." So that was a direct quote taken from AWAM from a statement about the alleged incident.
And the thing is, these are the cases and incidents that are being reported, right? We don't don't know what is not being reported, for one.
That's right.
But generally speaking, over a third of Malaysian women, that's 36% to be exact, and compared to one in six men, have experienced sexual harassment. This finding comes from a survey done by YouGov Omnibus back last year in 2019, which states that the most experienced form of sexual harassment was sexual assault at 59%, followed by verbal comments of a sexual nature at 48%, flashing at 29%, and unwanted sexualized photography or videography at 20%.
But according to the survey, only 53% of people who have been sexually harassed actually reported or told someone about the incident. Mm. The survey, which polled slightly over 1,000 Malaysians, found that the reasons why sexual harassment go unreported is due to embarrassment. That was about 54%, or feeling that no one would do anything about the problem. That was another 38% of respondents. Mm-hmm. And 26% of the respondents even cited fear of repercussion as the reason why they didn't report these cases or tell someone about it.
So to gain more insight into this whole issue, I got in touch with Yu Ren Chong, Deputy Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organization. And I started by asking Ren Chong if there's an increase in sexual harassment complaints or reports to WAO's hotline since the MAO, since the MCO began.
WAO, during the MCO, we've really been focusing on the issue of domestic violence. And for that issue, we've seen a huge increase, threefold increase, reports from, if you look at April numbers compared to February. We haven't been focusing so much on sexual harassment during the MCO, but we have received some reports, although it's not a noticeable increase or not. What we do know about sexual harassment is, number one, sometimes it's a bit hard to conceptualize. And number two, we know some instances of sexual harassment may not be yet, as of now, any kind of offense. So that means that if we look at official reports of sexual harassment, we may not be getting a true reflection of the cases. What we do know is that sexual harassment at any time, normal times or during the MCO, is prevalent. In July 2019, YouGov, which is a research company, did a survey of Malaysian people. Mm-hmm. And what they found was 36% of Malaysian women and 17% of Malaysian men have experienced some form of sexual harassment in their life. So that's a huge number over there, more than a third of women, and even a significant number of men. So we know it's a big problem. Mm. And we don't expect the MCO to actually erase the problem in any way.
Of course. Do you expect, in fact, the MCO to exacerbate it or cause it to be intensified somehow?
Okay, so with the MCO, I think in some instances we may see some forms of sexual harassment. Of course, people are not going to work, so sexual harassment in the workplace, we may not see that so much during the MCO for those companies who actually don't have work or work from home. But we also, and still creates different kinds of scenarios. And in certain circumstances, it may create situations where sexual harassment can still occur. So, for example, if you're going, people still need to go out to grocery stores, and in some instances, they are more crowded than normal. People still need to go out on the streets. People still take public transportation. So these are all instances where sexual harassment can still occur during the MCO.
Mm.
One thing the MCO has also done is disrupt our normal response mechanisms. So in normal times, say somebody might be able to more easily, go to a police station or go and get some other forms of help. So these systems, people may not know whether they are still operating the same during MCO as normal times.
So let's talk about what kind of measures need to be in place to ensure or to prevent sexual harassment for both women and men. Let's talk about now during this MCO and then broaden out to a more general context.
So I think the important thing to know that is that during the MCO, response systems are still available. At the beginning of the MCO, there may have been some confusion or uncertainty as to what kind of help I can actually get. But I think by now, it's quite clear that most of our response systems are still open. So for example, police reports. You can still make a police report during the MCO. And the police have actually came out and clarified that all police not response systems are still operation functional. So you can still go to a police station and make a report. Mm-hmm. You can still call 999 or 15999 to make a report. So and the police are still conducting investigations as for normal. Welfare services as well. And the courts, although some they're not opening normal hours, but they still are conducting cases during the MCO. Of course, NGOs are still open. In fact, NGOs have extended our services during the MCO because of the increase in risk and need during this period. So NGOs like WAO. We're operating 24 hours a day, our hotline. We are free and confidential service. Our number is 0379563488, and our WhatsApp is 0189888058. So these are free and confidential services that are operational 24 hours during the MCO. Anyone who has experienced sexual harassment, you can call us if you need more information or support.
And, you know, since you mentioned making a police report, there have been isolated cases of women being sexually harassed by members of the authority itself. There was a case of a police officer alleged to have done this at a roadblock. So what are women's, what recourse do women have when this happens, when it's people in positions of authority that harass them?
I think when these instances happen, it's even worse than normal circumstances, because as these people are in positions of some authority, so you may be a bit worried as to what actually can be done. I think the response is you should treat it as any other case. So if say one officer has done something to you, you can still complain about that to another officer. Mm-hmm. Or you can immediately after that, go to a police station and recount what happened to you. You can still do that. You can still call if you're worried and you might have some good reason to be concerned. You can always call an NGO like WAO or AWAM, who can provide you with some support, to make a report and to get other kinds of help for your case.
Okay, and while we don't want to sound like, you know, the onus is on those who are on the receiving end of harassment, but given the circumstances, what can especially women do right now to take precautions and ensure their safety during the MCO?
I think you put it very well, in the sense that I think the important point to realize is to note is that, you know, number one, it's not sexual harassment happens because of the person who is harassing it, because of their belief that they can do it and their belief that they can get away with it. So if we're talking about advice to prevent, I think there's very little advice you can say. Right? You know, it can happen to anyone regardless of what they are doing. It would really depend on the person harassing. So that being said, if sexual harassment happens to you, I think, you know, the first, a lot of people go through their minds, oh, did that really happen? Did I remember correctly? Maybe that person meant something else. So in these circumstances, I think the first thing to realize is that, look, you know, it's definitely not your fault. What happened to you is not because of anything you did wrong. That's number one. And number two is, you know, trust your instincts, trust your reactions, and know that your experience is valid. That's number one. And number then the second thing is to reach out for help. So if something happens to you, if depending on the situation, maybe right there and then you can say, shout loudly or say something so that other people are aware of what's going on. So ensure that nothing worse happens to you at that moment of time. Mm-hmm. You could also, after the fact, if it's not safe if I do this or I don't feel comfortable doing it right now, you can, after the fact, you can deal with it. So, for example, if it happens in a supermarket, you can always go and tell the operator, the security guard, or maybe the manager in the store that something happened to you. If it happens to you, you can call the police or any other authority also. If it happens to you on a train, for example, you can report it to one of the staff members at the LRT station or so on.
Mm. And, you know, many women fear that then they won't be taken seriously, right? So what if they report or complain about it and nothing is done? Then how can they escalate it after that?
I think the safest way to escalate it is, or the safest thing to do is, number one, to try your best to take down as much detail as possible. So write down what happened to you, tell someone, you can WhatsApp your friend what happened to you, and that way your memory is still fresh. So you would be able to recount and maintain a consistent and detailed story.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two is collect any other evidence you may have. Maybe you have a picture, maybe you have a snapshot. Maybe you can try and think, oh, maybe there was a CCTV or something like that. Maybe there were witnesses. So try and think of other evidences that you can collect. But if that's not available, that's okay. Your testimony itself is already a form of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've done that, you can always contact NGOs like WAO to support you. We could try and go through the process with you, including making that report.
Mm. And, you know, you mentioned witnesses. So what if we witness an act of sexual harassment? What can we as the bystander do?
So as a bystander, we have a very important role because people sexually harass and do other kinds of things because, in a way, they feel they can get away with it. They think it's a normal thing. So if bystanders speak up, if bystanders try and do something to respond to the harassment, that would actually be a big help in reducing, of course, helping in that situation, but in changing the very culture of our that we have when it comes to harassment. So what can a bystander do? Number one, a bystander, you could really just intervene there and then. You know, if you see someone on the street whistling or catcalling or something, you can just say, hey, you just tell that person, look, why are you doing that? Just ask that person, simple as that. I mean, you don't have to be confrontational or you can just state it as a matter of fact, like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You can do that. You can also reach out, say if someone you know or someone you think will feel comfortable, you can reach out to them and say, hey, do you need any help? Or hey, I saw this too. Do you want me to if you want to report, I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
You can pass that person contact information of an NGO like WAO. A lot of things you can do depending on that particular situation, but those are some examples of things you can do.
Mm. And just one last question, looking at the bigger picture of what WAO and many other groups have been trying to push for sexual harassment, or rather legislation to fight against sexual harassment, how do we keep our eye on the ball on that?
There are two things in terms of legislation that we need to continue. These are efforts that actually have these conversations on these two bills. So the first is sexual harassment legislation. That's number one. Number two is anti-stalking offense.
Mm-hmm.
So these two topics actually are things that have been in discussion for many years since previous governments. And during the PH government, we've seen a lot of progress on these two initiatives. The first is sexual harassment bill would create the main thing it would do is it would create a mechanism for survivors or victims to report the act of sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would ensure that every company, any organization, school, university would have in place their own sexual harassment procedures. So if you're a student and another student or a lecturer or someone else harasses you, this legislation will ensure that your university has some kind of internal mechanism that meets minimum standards that you can report to. So I could report to the sexual harassment committee in my university, for example. That's what the sexual harassment bill would do. It would also create an oversight body to ensure that, okay, look, if your university is not following the minimum standards, you can report to a larger body, for example, a tribunal, sexual harassment tribunal,
mm-hmm.
And that tribunal would then look into your matter. That's number one. The second piece of legislation that that the government needs to pass really immediately after MCO is over is anti-stalking legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So this covers acts of harassment that amount to crimes. So if somebody repeatedly or continuously follows you around on the street or catcalls you and then sends you unwanted messages, shows up at your work, so on. So these forms of harassment are threatening to your safety and your well-being. And these are things that you actually need police intervention. So you could get a protection order against someone who is conducting these acts against you.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, there's very little one can do. See someone following you around from your work to your office, and then later you see them again. There's nothing much the police can do, really. It's because those things are not actually crimes at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Although we know that they are dangerous acts. Many other countries have put in place anti-stalking offences. In fact, under the previous government, a draft bill was produced by a multi-stakeholder set of government agencies and civil society, and that's just waiting to be passed by Parliament.
Mm.
So both these acts, sexual harassment bill and anti-stalking offences, these are things that have been in the conversation for many years past various governments. These are two things that are already at the final stages. There's already a draft that government officers, policy officers, bureaucrats have put together. So these are non-partisan, non-ideological, common sense things that should be passed as a matter of urgency.
So that was Yu Ren Chong, Deputy Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organization.
Yes, and Awam has also shared some tips on how women can stay safe during the MCO. So once again, we have to emphasize that people, both men and women, do not get sexually harassed because of their own actions.
Mm.
Sexual harassment is the fault of no one else but the harasser. So just to take some extra precautions, though, here are some tips that you can follow. Ensure that your phone is charged adequately before any trip. Ensure that your vehicle has enough petrol for a round trip. Keep a list of emergency contacts in your car, and always have a pencil and notepad in your glove compartment.
Yes, and if you are someone who has been sexually harassed, or if you know someone who has, as we talked about with Ren Chong, you know, even as a bystander or somebody who witnessed something, you can take action as well. So don't hesitate to reach out to the authorities, like the police, or you can also contact NGOs such as WAO at 0379563488. You can also WhatsApp them at 0189888058. And then there's also Awam at 0162374221. That's all the time that we have for the show today. Do continue to share your thoughts if you have any with us at BFM Radio, or WhatsApp us at 0187898899. You can also drop us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, Ringgit and Cents will revisit the personal finance webinar from earlier this week, which discussed how to construct financial plans that can weather any crisis. We'll leave you now with the Beatles with Don't Bother Me, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.